and welcome to the Stretch Podcast. My name is Lebukule, your host. My guests and I will be having conversations on matters of self-development, emotional well-being, spiritual growth, and overall transformation. These are guests whose work, expertise, knowledge, and wisdom has inspired and moved me tremendously, and I hope that they inspire and move you too. Here is another episode of the Stretch Podcast. Before the episode, just a note to say, if you're hearing this, it means you are not on the subscriber base of the Stretch Podcast, which means you will only be getting half an episode. We do not run adverts on this podcast. We do not plan to. Our income is directly from our subscriber base. We would love for you to join the subscriber base if you love and value what we do here. The subscription is 99 rands. You will get the link to subscribe on the show notes at the bottom or on all of my social media links on the bio. Until then, enjoy this episode. And I will see you, hopefully soon, on the other side.
Hey, dumelang, my friends. It is I, Lebukule, with another episode of the Stretch Podcast. And today, really, it's just a continuation of last week's episode. It is not a new episode at all. And Ahumna and I literally pick up from where we left off. Now, if you are on the free episode, if you are a non-subscriber to the Stretch Podcast, when I say we pick up from where we left off, I don't mean where we left off with you. I mean where we left off with the entire part one. So basically, where you left it, there was a whole other 20 to 25 minutes of conversation. So we pick up from that point. So you do miss a lot on the free. I know we give you a lot, but you do miss quite a bit as well. So you'll just have to ride along and just listen to whatever we have left offering you. And again, you are not getting the full, once again, you are getting a partial part of the part two, which I hope it will be just as meaningful and as deep as the first one was. This time around, it's less personal, no tears. You will even hear my voice. I'm lively, I'm alive, because you know the processing that we did in the first 40-45 minutes, which was my personal wounds, was just that healing and that clearing. And I had to let go a lot. Like I said, I mean, I did cry quite a bit. It's just that obviously I can't cry intensely on the podcast, so there were times where we paused, but I must tell you, it was one of the most healing conversations I've had. And just so you know, I did do the ritual with my daughter. Well, she wasn't there, but I did it at her house, because when I was in Joburg, I was at her house. And I did let her know, and I did let Tebe know, and I did say to them, they'll be with me in spirit, because they were not available. You know, Tsulu was partially there, but she's just so busy and preparing to travel overseas. I'll tell you about all that. She's actually leaving very, very soon to Europe for a dance contract. So I did do the ritual, and it had its own way of freeing me. I cannot tell you. I can't wait to share with you some of the dreams I'm getting, because I get a lot of messaging through my dreams. And this is definitely going to be part of my third book. So it was the most healing money conversation I've had. And I've had many money conversations. And I do want to thank those of you who reached out and shared a little bit of your stories as well, and found the episode quite healing, and just gave me a lot of love. So I truly appreciate. And I've received a lot of people who also shared their money wounds. One even went as far as saying she didn't actually realize that her retrenchment all those many years ago left a gaping hole in her money heart, as she puts it, because you know, she is a subscriber. of the podcast, and there is a part where Ahumna unpacks how when your wound is in the heart, when your wound is in the liver, there's also when your money wound is in the stomach. So the body, guys, the body, we carry these things through the body. And so it was really beautiful feedback that I received from a lot of you. Now, today's conversation is really bigger. You know, we talk about the bigger systems that govern money, the spirit of money also needing to change and going a whole other direction. How us healers, teachers, light workers, people who are doing good in the world, need to embrace money so that we use it for greater good, so that it is really less about our own self-fulfillment. And you need to get me right. I'm not saying starve or deprive or any of that. I am saying, by all means, let us take care of ourselves. Let us take care of our immediate needs and some more. You know, have a beautiful, big, good, dreamy home, if that's what you like. Have that. Have your car. Have your cars if you are into cars. Have the things that you really, really and truly want in this material form. And once you have them, use the rest of the money for greater good. Use it for your school, use it for your platforms, use it to help your students, to help your clients. Like, let us change the way we are with money. Let it be less self-serving. Let it be less about me and my things and my smaller nyana life. Let us just use it for bigger things, contribute to bigger platforms, to places that are healing the earth, you know, places where children are looked after, the elderly are looked after. Not so long ago, I had a conversation with Bulelwa Mahura, who is a social worker and works with people living with cognitive disability. Those places need our money. Those places need us to support them. So this is what we are talking about with Ahumna, to change the way we use money such that it is for the good, as opposed to how it's used now, as it is backed by debt and it is used to, more than anything, punish us, you know, punish us and make us feel miserable. Let us develop a new earth type of way with money. So that's what we cover in the part that you will get as people on the free episode. Now, before I give you the conversation, I just want to promote a little bit of my work, so that you just know what's happening. Shadow Work as a standalone course is available for you to enroll in it. The link is on the show notes here, because someone did ask me that, is Shadow Work still available? Yes, it is. It's available. It's 950. You get the entire module. You know, you get to understand what a shadow is, why it develops, how it develops, how to befriend the shadow, the dark shadow versus the light shadow. What's the difference? How to integrate yourself such that your shadow is not always the scary thing, so that you accept it as part of who you are. So that course is available. If that's a bit too much for your senses, you can start with the free course, The Universal Laws. It is still available. It is still free. And you can also get the link here on the show notes. Someone once asked me, what are show notes? Show notes is the text version of the podcast. You know, you're listening to the podcast now. When you click on it, you'll see a write-up of what the episode is about, the bio of the guest. That's a show note. Those are show notes. And as you read further, you find links for the guest's website. Then you find links for my work. So that's what I mean when I say on the show notes at the bottom. That's what I mean. And when I say at the bottom, I mean the last paragraph. So the last paragraph of every show notes will be my work. It will be where you subscribe for the podcast if you haven't. It will be where whatever I'm promoting, there'll be links there, like the Shadow Work link is there, the Universal Laws link is there, the books. May is the month that I always reprint and promote my books, the series. So the link, if you want to buy those books, there is a link there. Unfortunately, you can't just buy one. It is a combo, it is a series, so we're selling it like that. It makes business sense, it's effective that way. If you do have a copy of maybe the first book, you can always gift it, which is something that we need to redevelop, hey? The gifting, the giving, the sharing. You can always gift it to someone. Even if you do have both books, maybe do buy them as a gift for somebody, especially a mother, a young mother. You know, it's Mother's Month in May, Mother's Day. Someone who had a child as a teenager, someone who is a teenager now, who's having a baby. Just gift them those books so they can see that, you know, the teenage pregnancy is not the end of it. You know, you can rise and become a formidable force in the world. Coaching notes, which is something that I am very passionate about, because those are practical coaching tools that you can use without necessarily having to be part of my one-on-one coaching. You don't have to book a session and have a coaching session with me, especially if you don't have the money or the time. So coaching notes are specifically for you. You know, you get coaching on the go, you know. That's a subscription as well. That is 120 a month. What else? I've spoken about coaching notes, books, universal laws, and shadow work. And that's it from promotion side. And if you are disgruntled today saying, hey, you said there's no adverts, where do you think I should promote my work? And also, some people are not on social media, so they don't see my posts. And the podcast is the only other place where they can get to know if there's something I'm running, there's a workshop I'm running, or a retreat, or anything that's new. So I do need to promote my work. Also to you, I need to promote my work to you, in case you're not aware, you know. And without much ado, let me give you the rest, or a little bit of the conversation that I had with Ahumna, because you are not even getting the rest of it. You're getting partial part of it. I hope it's helpful, and I hope it moves you enough to get you to subscribe at the bottom on the show notes. Oh gosh, that guy made me laugh. It's like, he keeps saying on the show notes, what are show notes? And the person did end up subscribing to both the coaching notes and the podcast, by the way. You know who you are. Well, you won't be listening to this one, actually, because you'll be on the other side. And the people on the other side don't get this type of intro. They get a whole other intro. Okay, I give you the rest of my conversation with Ahumna.
Yeah, like I was saying, the system is falling. You know, I love that tiny house movement, and it looks so beautiful. I mean, it's obviously televised and all that, but I love the idea of, I want to free myself from the system. I want to live well. I want to live within my means, quote unquote, whatever that means. It's going to change a lot of things, because if I don't have a big mortgage to pay and a big car bill and a big whatever, my relationship with money is going to change. So the question here is, a lot of us are struggling with money wounds. How do we heal those, and how do we move forward with the evolution of Mother Earth and money itself?
Yeah, great question. So there's several approaches that I like to take, because we have to acknowledge that we are multidimensional. Right? We have many dimensions of who we are. We have a body, we have a mind, we have, you know, and then within our body, we have all these different aspects of our body, right? We have our brain, our nervous system, our heart, our digestive system. And when we really approach it from the lens of this is a trauma, I started to see that each of these different experiences, they get stored in different parts of our bodies. We have to address first and foremost our brain being stuck in protection mode and feeling like money is a threat, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So addressing that, for people who just want to like immediately go find something to do. Like, I really like the book, The Buddha's Brain. And I'm not remembering who that book is written by right this second. That being said, it's called The Buddha's Brain.
Okay.
And that just gives a lot of different ways of helping to shift the brain into a different state. And it's not focused on money in any way, because you don't need to focus on money in any way when it comes to learning how your brain operates. Most people have no idea how their brain operates. And if you have no idea how your brain operates, then you have no idea how to get your brain to shift out of being stuck in a program. So that book is a really great way, a really great tool, just also for anything else. Like,
yes, of course, I'm sure.
Moving through depression and, you know, finding joy and calming and all the things. So I really recommend that.
Okay.
We also bring
a Buddha's brain. Okay. I'll find
I think it's the Buddha's brain.
Buddha's brain. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's a really great tool just for overall mental, neurological understanding and support.
Okay.
So we have to address first and foremost the brain, right? So that our brain is no longer firing in money is not safe. And when the brain says money is not safe, anytime money starts to come in, our amygdala goes off and it says threat.
It does that to me. That's
threat,
for sure.
Push this away. And it will only let in enough for the parts of us to develop threats in other areas of our lives.
No, I mean, I'm a living example of that. The moment the zeros in my account get to a certain point, MG. I didn't know what was happening before, but things would start happening. The car would break, the roof would leak. This, so that, you know, that last zero is too much for my heart or my brain or whatever you'll explain to handle, because that's what happened back when I died. Yeah. Okay.
and the beautiful thing about life, I truly trust that life is working for us to heal. And to let go of limitations on us becoming who we are truly here to be. And I just feel right now in this moment that I want to share a little bit about my experience as well.
Yes,
because
yes. It's just that
it
I was
really
so overwhelmed
important.
With mine. And I know you have a beautiful experience. Please go ahead.
I just want to, because sometimes it can be like, you know, people can create an expectation or a story about maybe where I come from or how I was raised, and that makes them feel like what I'm saying is not attainable for them. So I grew up in a trailer park, and for the first several years of my life, my parents were in a really, really difficult divorce.
Yeah.
And my mother was a child. She was 18 when she had me.
Yeah.
So by four, I was molested because my mother couldn't pay the rent by the landlord. And so I picked up the story that people do bad things for money. That was realized fully for me. And, you know, we were constantly moving from trailer park to trailer park. And money, my mom still to this day is on welfare because she's also disabled. So she's physically disabled.
Yeah.
And so the first crucial years of my life were really difficult when it comes to money. My dad eventually got custody of me, and he was a farmer by nature. So he has a very strong work ethic, and he worked really, really hard to provide for us, for just me and him, to have a healthy life.
Yeah.
Right. That being said, at eight, it's when I started working on a farm as well. And by 15, I had my first job working at a grocery store because, you know, my dad could provide for a house and food and good schooling. But as far as things like if I wanted to go to the movies or I wanted new clothes, like those things were a luxury that I had to work for.
Wow. Yeah.
So, you know, I got good schooling. And I feel very privileged that I was able to go to good schools, even though now looking back, I would have never gone to those schools. I, you know, navigated a significant amount of financial debt as a result of that process of going to university and not using that degree in any way. In my business.
What did you study?
Criminal psychology.
Okay. Maybe you will use it.
I use fractions.
The psychology. Yeah. Sections.
Yeah.
Of it. I thought so. Yeah.
That being said, it was not worth $200,000 worth of debt. And just throughout that experience, you know, I, and even with my dad, you know, he was always saying money doesn't grow on trees. You have to work really hard. And so because of the experience that I had, like, I did not want to be like my mother, because that was a, that to me meant abuse, violation.
Yeah.
That meant really difficult, just a really difficult experience.
Life, yeah.
And so those patterns were ingrained in me though. I ingrained these patterns that I had to use my body to get money and, you know, be promiscuous to get money and like prove myself worthy to men to somehow make enough money in all these ways. Like all those things were deeply ingrained in my body. And then I worked so hard in school. I worked at school. I had two jobs and I eventually almost killed myself. I attempted suicide my senior year of university as a result of coming out, realizing how much debt I had, how just absolutely difficult, because I graduated in 2010. For those of you who aren't aware, 2008 was like one of the biggest, the last biggest financial crisis in the United States.
Yeah, that's so when I also went, no, we know.
Yeah.
It trickled down and that,
it trickled
that's
through
around
the whole space.
Yes, it did.
And
yeah.
My interest rate went from like 3% to 25%.
No
and
way.
I just, yeah, it was insane. And then there was no job after school either. So it was like everyone that were in my generation, you know, my body's 35. So millennials,
yeah.
We were just kind of
you're my
kicked
face.
To the curb, you know, like no one was like here. And so, yeah, I got to a point of such severe depression that I tried taking my own life. And thank God that an angel came to me truly in this moment and helped me to see the light of day, and I got myself the help that I needed. But my relationship with money was still really toxic.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to hold money. I didn't know how to keep money. So I was making money working at restaurants.
Yeah.
Being, you know, a young, attractive woman, I made good money working at restaurants because I was not going to go into work after school. And, you know, because of what happened as a child, I knew how to like be sensual and make money at a restaurant and like figure shit out, but I didn't know how to hold it. So I was always spending it and just generating more debt and not really knowing what to do. And there came a moment in 2014, I believe now, where I basically donated everything I owned. I was like, I had my awakening in 2012 and I was like trying to figure out how I was going to step into this service mission that I had. And still I was living in LA now, managed to pay for living in Los Angeles where you live in a box for $2,000. You know, that was life in
place,
LA.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I just started to have, you know, I was practicing just meditation and yoga and like really doing the thing to heal. And I had an experience with money that money showed up for me in a way that allowed me to realize that I had to change. And so I donated everything.
Well, this is the end of the road for you. If you want to continue listening to this episode, you will have to subscribe to the Shrek podcast for 99 grand. The link to subscribe will be found on all the show notes at the bottom and on all of my social media handles on a link tree. It simply says, subscribe to the Stretch Podcast, and then you will get all the episode in full, plus bonus episodes and some of the coaching notes that I share with subscriber only. Until then, I will see you next week with another episode. Love and green lights to you.